peace, and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this for the second hour of tonight's fantastic, highly enlightening show as we talk about love, posing the question, should there be love education like we have sex education? According to psychologist Frank Tallis, who is the author of the book The Incurable Romantic and Other Tales of Madness and Desires, he truly believes that there should be some level of education about love. Here to give us some insight about this is our relationship expert, Ms. Kristen Young. And she says, yes, there should be some sort of guidance given about this experience of love. All right, folks, of course, before we get back into the conversation, I want to let you know that support for WEAA is provided by Live Baltimore. Fall 2018 Trolley Tour coming to Baltimore Poly High School this Saturday, September the 22nd from 8:30 a.m. through 1 p.m. You can meet and greet real estate professionals while experiencing various neighborhoods. More details at livebaltimore.com. All right, let's go back into the conversation. I want to first share some thoughts that have been expressed on our Facebook page. My man Sananda checked it in. Remember Sananda? He was on our show some time ago talking about the work that he's doing in the community. But he said, look, a class might work, or at least a part of a class. After all, love is learned. How about that? But some of us, though, real talk, I mean, this has sparked some debate among me and my production team. But as much as love is learned, some things you need to unlearn, folks. Seriously, we all need to unlearn some things about love because, well, look at the way our lives are, right? And I mean our love lives and our children's love lives and all of those things. Some things we definitely need to throw to the side of the road. Ness checked in on Facebook. She said, Faraji, why is the term used fall into love instead of walk into love? I hope this question get answered. That's my question. We keep saying falling into love like we didn't know it was coming, right? You in a situation and, it, you know, we got all types of language to describe what we're in. We don't necessarily call it a relationship. We go even as far as I've heard some millennials say situationship. You talk about I'm booed up and all of these. We create all of these kind of weird spaces for us to not, quote unquote, catch feelings. But when you do catch feelings and you come booed up, it becomes a whole different thing. What are we doing, Kristen Young? What are we doing to our hearts, our minds, our spirits when we go through all of these backwards flips to try to deny what's the inevitable?
I mean, honestly, we're just in a place where we're trying to protect ourselves. Because, as you said, there are plenty of things that we need to unlearn. And as you said, for a lot of times you hear a lot of millennials talking about all these different creative ways of describing certain types of relationships without being fully committed. And as we've talked about before, when we discussed that situationship conversation,
yep,
it's often just a matter of fear. You're walking into a situation unknown.
Yeah.
You know you have... For the most part, people have a desired result, but you're not clear on how to get there. And because of where we are in society, there's a whole lot more dysfunctional relationships that are in view as opposed to the healthy, positive, fun, loving relationships that we genuinely desire.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of fear there. So it's like, okay, well, let me tiptoe around this. Let me keep my guards up. Let me not call it what it is, in order to protect myself from, as you said, catching feelings or being all in or ultimately looking like a fool if things don't go the way I would hope they would go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone line, see what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Buddy for West Baltimore, thank you so much for your great patience, buddy. What's your take on this?
My take on it, and I believe that love is divine. It's a small word with a big definition.
Woo, I like that, buddy.
And, I believe love is the soap of the spirit. What do soap do? It cleanses you. Mm. You know, until we learn how to look past people's faults. And in relationships, I think a lot of us expecting something from somebody or someone or something from them that they don't have.
Mm.
And if God ain't at the center of it, then there's no way we can love anyway. And I've been hurt before, too. But I've learned how to put God first.
Yeah.
So now when God is at the center of it, when somebody chooses to leave or vacate or do something, I'm not hurt because I found the true essence of love. It's a divine intervention, you know, that'll help you keep your focus straight on him. And then he'll give you the love that you need to share with somebody.
No, that's beautiful. So you said love is soap of the spirit. I've never heard it described like that, but I love it. I'm serious, man. You got to, man, you, hey, buddy, my man, buddy. You just dropped a jewel, man. I thought you were just a regular caller. You a hip-hop artist.
Nah, man. I just get little parables because I stay connected to my creator.
Come on, buddy. I hear that. You know, no, that's beautiful, man. Real talk. That is really, really beautiful.
I mean, like a lot of us don't understand a lot of quotes and parables. I always tell everybody that we all was born with a PhD, which is a praise him degree.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We don't praise
come on
the creator.
Now.
Mm, buddy.
Let me pass the plate.
Right, right. You know, see, you got me rocking in my chair, man.
You know, we'll praise idle things, and then idle things will hurt us. That's where the footprints in the sand come in.
Yeah, there it is. That, hey, buddies, do you think that now, like, you know, some of our other wonderful callers mentioned that we should not get into the space of the being delusional about the relationships, that we should really be aware? And Kristen even mentioned that. Do you think that will help to restore a lot of people?
Well, I mean, the love thing is a relationship. You got to have a relationship with yourself first.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing to offer. You know, and if it's always got to be a me story, your story, and who else's true story. So I ain't your father, you ain't my mother. Okay, so what did the divine God say?
My man Buddy for West Baltimore dropping jewels with us on a Friday night about love. I hear that. Thank you so much for checking in, buddy. Let's go to Michael from downtown Baltimore. Michael, what's your take on this conversation? What do you think love is?
Great conversation, Raji.
Thank
Good
you.
To talk to you, bro. So listen, first of all, I got to address that fallen thing, right? Like, I think that's a Victorian notion, or maybe some Hollywood script writers or Madison Avenue that taught us to buy diamonds and Valentine's Day and all that stuff. I think other cultures, if you look at interrogate, probably don't have the exact same notions of that. But I was always taught, well, first of all, there's two kind of love, right? There's agape, there's eros, and there's philia. But I was always taught that you practice love like you practice law, medicine, or in my family, we were taught you practice family, right? So you practice like love, and some of us, some of us, you know, got stronger kung fu than others when we practice love. Some of us got more superpowers than others, and it is generational, and it's passed down. Sometimes you got to reset and break cycles, and we got our traumas around all forms of those loves, right? So, I mean, it is taught, it is a practice, it's a culture, but you know, each person has to decide what their practice is going to be if they don't have a tradition. Or a high form of kung fu superpower, then they have to develop it. But it's definitely a practice, man, and just like family's a practice, and it takes on different meanings in different, you know, subcultures. But I think it's a verb, and it's a thing you do. I don't know if you can teach it in class or in school, but it is definitely an apprentice kind of thing, or
yeah,
an observed and practice kind of activity.
I'm feeling that. I'm really feeling that, Michael, because I was always taught that love is duty. I was always taught that, right? Like, your love is duty. Like, I don't know if you're married or not, or if you have a significant other, but even on the days when my wife and I may not be on the same page, I don't stop doing my part or stop providing or stop, you know, being a father, or you know what I mean? I don't be just because we had an argument.
Yeah, and
it's still my duty to take care of her, to take care of my son, and to take care of that's my duty. So whether it's not, my duty is not based upon how I'm feeling at the moment. My duty is based upon something much higher.
And check it out. If you profess to love black people or community, you already know you're gonna catch it sometime.
You're gonna catch it all the time, man.
Right, I mean, right? Except for those rare moments that keep bringing you back, right?
So, yeah.
So like, you know, either or your friendships, with,
yeah,
you know, your brotherly or your sisterly or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So like, I think that's an app. Yeah.
I'm with you on that, though. I love the fact that you say love is practice. Kristen, how did we get to this space? And Michael talks about being the Hollywood, right? And now, more than ever, Hollywood has shaped our thinking about how we see ourselves and how we see the world around us. And now that has also crept into social media, right? So how do we start to penetrate through those messages? Because I think there is, you know, we might think that it's an original thought or we have something groundbreaking that we believe, that we thought about love or the principle of love, when it actually originated either on Madison Avenue or in Los Angeles in Hollywood. So how did we penetrate through those messages to really get to the very root of such a divine principle?
It's one of those things where you want to just kind of say, get back to the basics.
Yeah.
But I know that it's difficult for a lot of people because a lot of people have had a lot of experiences and, you know, there's so much out there, especially as you said, with social media, movies, et cetera. But it really is just taking an opportunity to get back to basics and truly learning who you are as an individual, because there's always stuff going on around you. There's always opportunities and choices available to you every single day. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are, no matter who raised you, you're always faced with opportunities and choices. But it's a matter of what is it that works best for you. But you have to know you in order to make that decision. So it's a matter of really taking the opportunity to practice self-love. And as your caller was saying, it really is practice. It really is creating that opportunity to be aware and stay conscious, whether you're into journaling, whether you just need to literally talk to yourself,
yeah,
whether it's through prayer and meditation, however it is that you can detox from the world,
yeah,
and take that opportunity to say, okay, where am I in this moment? What am I feeling, especially at the end of the day? Before you lay your head down, what is it that I love about me? What is it that I need to release from the day? And how can I get clear on who I am desiring to be, what feels good for me, what is best for me, so that I can receive more of that in the next day?
You know what, Kristen, when I hear, and as I heard Michael talking about practice, the big word that came to my mind was habits. Because when you go to practice, you're going through a process of repeating some of the techniques to become better. And that's part of creating new habits. And that's what I hear.
Absolutely.
Like, when I got married, I had to create a new habit about how I was going to interact with my wife, how I was going to communicate with her, creating new habits of instead of, you know, and normally when I wake up in the morning, just thinking about myself, you know what I mean? Now I wake up and get her a cup of coffee, because that will start her morning off in a better spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But creating new habits, being in that space to create new habits, I think is absolutely essential. Otherwise, you and your relationship, but you and your relationship by yourself, because
absolutely,
you still haven't changed. But some people, and I want you to think about this question, because I want to get your JC and Alina. But some people are afraid, Kristen, that when they become a part of their relationship, they tend to lose themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That they don't, that they essentially change. Some people, now I know you've heard this, some women and some men, they get into a situation or relationship with somebody with the intent of changing that person. I want you to help me help us to understand, is that a good approach to have? Let's talk to JC out of White Marsh. JC, I'm so happy you checked in. Thank you for your great patience. What's your take?
All right. Hey, Vlad, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. So I like your last point, but it's going to take me all the way left. Let me just stay focused here. The question is, should we have, like, love education in school? Like, we have sex education.
Yeah. It may not be in school. It could be the church. It could be in the communities.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
but just
okay,
in general.
Okay. So, okay, good, because I'm so tired of that, going back to school, because the whole culture thing in America right now has got my mind spinning. So I think love is something that should be taught at home. And church would be a good place as well, or your place of worship. But love... and like you said, it's habit. You know, it's like learned behavior where You see things, and you as a child, you mimic the things that you see. But love, because there's so many forms of that, you know, you love your mom and dad a different way. You love your friend a different way. You love your significant other or your husband, your wife a different way. I think that if, like you're saying now, it's a feeling. It's an emotion. What needs to be taught is how to deal with that feeling and that emotion. Like when you're angry, some people deal with situations so differently when they're angry. They take things overboard. Some of them don't really deal with it till it's built up. When you're able to learn how to deal with that emotion and deal with that feeling and what's going on with you internally, then you will be able to express it externally, you know. But I don't think that's something, and I guess because my understanding of it was wrong, my point can't be made now, because I thought you were saying something about school. I don't think that's something that someone in school can teach you how to love. I just think that that's something that, if, like you said, at home somewhere where it's more of a more intimate or closeness of someone else, I just can't see that being taught at school. No,
it doesn't have to be taught at school. I'm just saying in general, like, I mean, if there was a place that we can go, oftentimes, you know, we go to our pastor, our minister, and, you know, respected individuals. But imagine if there was a place that you can go to and you can be taught about this, right?
Yeah, taught about love itself, or taught about how to deal with it or recognize it.
Yeah.
Recognize the feelings.
Yeah.
Or how to deal with these feelings that's going on within
you.
Yeah.
I understand
that.
And you know what? I mean, let's be honest. We've had more than enough evidence of good love stories and not so good love stories, right?
Absolutely.
So what is preventing us from, I mean, we've studied everything else in the world. How come the very thing that really is the force behind the world, right? And some people say that love, Miss Linda said, God is love.
Right.
How come we don't have a legitimate study of that principle, of that science, right?
Let me just make one point today, because I know my time is up. But, and I don't want to make this a race issue. It's not. I'm just speaking because I'm a black woman. But in the black race, and someone just mentioned, like, going back to the basics, I think that And back to the basics of just that family time. I don't know. Some people may haven't experienced that, but I did growing up.
Yeah.
Where it's family time, and you know that old back in the day type of cookout feel, and you know, you seeing your parents together, and you know that feeling, and that going back during that time frame and that mindset, and just teaching one another, and you know, I'm going to help lift you up. And that feeling needs to be in the black community, needs to be in our culture, so that we can, it'll help us even internalize what's going on with us, learning ourselves, learning to love ourselves in order to love somebody else. But to me, I agree with the person who said, it's just one of them things of going back to the basics. I start from the bottom, you know, and then find out who the audience is, like, who are you focusing on? Because love, to me, trumps hate. It trumps hate.
Yeah, it does.
The society right now, we need love. I mean, right now is what we need.
That's right.
Love is definitely what we need right now. If you really know what it is to love, that definitely needs to be out in the universe.
Absolutely. JC, always great to hear from you. From White Marsh checking in. Elena from Catonsville. Elena, what's your take on this? Should love be a form of education?
I don't think so.
You said no.
I say no.
Okay.
And I say that in this way. Love has so many different scopes, so many different ways to look at love. And we're looking at relationship love, which is different from, as one of the other callers said, a familiar love and love of family, love of committees, et cetera, et cetera. But as far as relationships, and I'm an educator as well.
Okay.
And looking at that and dealing with it, particularly high schoolers and college students as well. When something goes sour, yes, the guys really fall apart, as well as the females. I have a son, no daughters. So I know what the guys experience when it's just not working. She doesn't want me. She doesn't talk to me. She doesn't any. And this does something to a guy's ego.
The
female.
Yes, ma'am.
It really gets to them and does to something to them as guys. But having a situation where they just learn about love. There's too many aspects to love. And the word that was mentioned when I turned on the show was the word delusional. I think there's a degree of delusion in any type of relationship. I don't care if someone has been married 10 years, 15, 20, 40, 50 years. Like we hear in the churches when it's announced, oh, we have so-and-so and so-and-so, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. Even though that they've been married 50 years, there's still something about both of them or each of them that's kind of a mystery to the other person. I was taught as a child, no matter how long you're married to someone, you're never going to know that person perfectly. You're never going to know 100% of what they're thinking or what they're feeling because they're individuals. They grew up in different situations. Mm. Even if they were next door neighbors, there's still something that's going to be different. And working with high school students, getting back to my point, and they talk about what's happening to them in their relationship, especially the guys, I think a brainstorming is the word to use rather than having a situation where you sit down and someone tells you about love. Love has many aspects. As the persons have said, there are too many aspects to just have a course or to sit down and talk about love, love, love. What is it? Is it a feeling? Is it an emotion? I think having a brainstorming session with a young person, let's say, let the young person tell you, what is it about this person that caused you to go head over heels? And what is it that you wanted from this young person?
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in the relationship? What did you have to contribute?
Sure.
What did you want to get out of it? What did you expect to do as a couple? And then also, I think someone mentioned it earlier, what should you be doing when things don't go the way you want?
There it is. There it is. Alina, I thank you so much for checking in from Catonsville, giving us some more food for thought. That whole idea that love has to be measured over time, that comes to my mind. Look, we're going to take our final pause tonight. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We got my man Patrick Scientific from Audio Infusion that wants to share his thoughts. And, of course, get some final remarks from our relationship expert, Ms. Kristen Young, about what it is about this thing that we call love. Because I got to add another element to this conversation, folks. Dr. Talis talks about it in his book. The time that we're living in called dating apps, right? HBO has a documentary out called Swiped. And it talks about finding love in the time of dating apps like Tinder and other places. How do you really find it? And it also talks about the consequences. So we'll have that conversation. Stay riding with me. Plus, I'm going to try to see if I can talk to you a little bit about what's going on with LeBron James. Talk to you about Black Twitter. Whole lot left. Stay riding with us. Final 30 of 40 Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community.
Jazz is an essential part of the universal language of music, one that anyone can understand and connect to. Music like this deserves a secure home on the radio dial. Become a part of the team that helps make great jazz possible. Do your part now by making a donation to keep Jazz on Public Radio 88.9 alive and well. Go to WEAA.org and click the Donate Now button. Thank you for listening.
Here's what you missed on Mornings with Mikal.
Well, you know who had a beard, y'all. Mikal's boyfriend.
Which one?
The Idris battle won't Elba? Be televised.
Oh, Gil Scott Heron?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The revolution.
Yeah. The intelligent dope-free. Now, yeah. I will say this. Man. Gil Scott Heron, even though he wasn't a great-looking guy,
deep.
He looked like he
had
a beard. Quiet
about
like,
him.
Like, you had, like he had a mattress on the floor. It's a nice beard, but it's on the floor.
WEAA, absolutely the voice of the community.
News headlines, events, podcasts, and more. WEAA.org.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM. And WEAA.org, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in, man. Oh, my goodness. We've been talking about love. I'm asking a big question. Should we have love education like we do sex education? Should love be seen as a, when you're lovesick, should that be seen as a medical condition? And what else can we throw up in there? Oh, the fact that this whole idea of finding the one, is this... Are we putting ourselves in a semi-delusional state, as Dr. Frank Talas has said that we are doing, that we have this notion about finding the one? He even went as far as to say clinging too tightly to expectations about fate and the one can leave us susceptible to the kind of madness that we see in most lovesick patients. In some individuals, Dr. Talas says, these beliefs are more rigidly held, so those individuals would be more vulnerable to pathologies of love. I mean, that is that where we are right now, Ms. Kristen Young, relationship expert? Are we at this place where now that we have lost control of not just ourselves, but we are losing touch with reality because we don't know how to handle the feelings and all of that that's attached to this idea of love? Are we in this very vulnerable space right now?
I believe we are. And we've touched on a lot of that already throughout this conversation and just looking at how, one, just society is different. Family households are different. The last caller was talking about getting back to spending that family time. But a lot of people don't have families to spend time with. A lot of people are, you know, living in dysfunctional homes. So spending time with family is probably going to be more detrimental to you than good.
Yeah.
So we're in a space where we have so many different dynamics than our parents did and generations before that. Even though there was always dysfunction, because we can be honest, you know, there was always some stuff that
yeah,
was
how about
under
that?
The rugs and thrown in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
Kristen.
We kept it swept under the rug and thrown in the closet.
Right.
So the foundation of love and responsibility and respect was still very, very evident. We're missing a lot of that now. We're in a space where, because we have so much access to the world through social media and other media, our children it's so much harder to, it's so much easier for our children to wander or to gain access to things we don't necessarily want them to have access to.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
We're definitely in a different place, and they're growing up a whole lot faster because of it.
And one of the big changes, Kristen, is the fact of this of technology. I mean, we talked a little bit about Facebook, but I want to kind of key in on these dating apps, right? These
mm-hmm.
And Dr. Talas talks about this, that he said, quote, "We don't just hang around in clubs and discos waiting by chance to meet someone. There's an enabling aspect of modern dating technology whereby people can study profiles and match themselves up." And I even went as far as reading that dating apps today have taken this whole idea of dating to the next level, but it still has kind of stayed true to its traditional roots because, like, if you go to match.com, it matches you up based upon your interests, your religion, and all of those other things, right? Whereas you would normally do that in a courtship, face-to-face possibly, you could do this electronically. But there are some real consequences, because just as much as you can get matched to somebody like that, you can also get into a very unhealthy relationship with somebody just simply because of a profile, and that profile may not truly speak the truth about who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, even if you meet somebody in the mall or in person or what have you, you still don't know if they're truly the same person. I think one of the things that that you touched on as far as social media and everything is just the fact that it's overwhelming, because so many people are still holding on to this idea of I'm just looking for that one.
All right, let me interrupt you, and then we're going to get to Patrick, Kristen, because one of the big things I think that we need to talk about, I mean, we talk about love, and the way we talk about love is very spiritual, right? A lot of people have some very, very deep views of love, but I want to bring this down to where the goats can get it. All right, Kristen, you ready for this, right?
I'm ready.
All right, so one is, should you be friends with your exes on social media? Boom. Come on, Kristen. On Facebook, Instagram, or even Twitter, should you be friends with your ex on social media?
I don't know if it's a should. I think it's a could.
No. Ain't no could.
It is a could, because it honestly depends on you and that person and how your relationship ended. Because
I'm saying, Kristen, to have a healthy... Uh-huh. A healthy break, right? Say the breakup was, you know, amicable. I get it. But should you, I mean, what about human nature? Right? Human nature is going to creep in at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see your ex living his best life or her best life, and you're like, man, everybody is not at that place to be able to be like, oh, man, I'm happy for him or happy for her. So does that open the door?
It can, and that's why I said it's a could versus a should.
Okay.
Because there are some people who, I mean, you have to know yourself, and I keep going back to the self-love, because that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And that's where it ends. You have to know you and be honest about who you are and what you can handle. If you can't handle being friends with your ex, you need to go ahead and unfriend them and move on with your life. And you don't have to explain. You don't have to tell them you're unfriending them. You don't have to go through all of that. You have to be mature enough and know yourself enough to say, you know what, I cannot have access to this person. I just can't. Maybe later, but not right now.
Maybe later.
Some people, you can just say, hey, you know what, I'm just not, you know, I'm going to scroll on by. It's not going to faze me. But if you know you're a little emotional, then you need to know yourself enough to be able to say, I need to completely part ways with this person and release that person. Even if you have a child together, what have you, you don't need to see into that part of their lives.
Right.
Unless, you know, you need to snoop and make sure
they're on the up and up. Wait a minute, Kristen. Hold on, Kristen. You ain't getting off the phone right now at this point. Did you say unless you need to snoop?
I'm just saying.
You want to be on Facebook? You're just creepy on Facebook.
Sometimes you need to do background checks.
On your ex?
I said if you have a child together.
Oh, if you have a child together.
If you have a child together.
Oh, you're going to put the child as the righteous cause for your crazy deeds.
Listen.
Who he got Marcus next to? Hold up. Let me see with Marcus. Wait a minute. Hold up. Her son, though. Why is her son's hair?
You know, I should not be getting the information first from my child. So and that's a whole separate conversation about how you manage separation.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Patrick Scientific, my man, for the Audio Infusion host. Patrick, what's good, brother?
What's good, everyone?
Good. All right, what's your take on this, Patrick?
I think that we should make sure that we don't confuse two topics.
All right.
Love is one. And then the second one is a healthy relationship, because you can have a bad relationship with someone that you really love and a healthy relationship with someone you don't love.
I don't know, Patrick. Hold on, this, man. You my man, 100 grand, Patrick. But I don't know how you can have a healthy relationship. You're talking about being that you were once in a relationship with this person, and then you fell out of relationship with this person, but you're still cool with that person.
It's one of those situations where y'all just haven't broken up yet, but you're still in a relationship.
But it's healthy.
And it could be going good.
You but it's healthy.
You've been falling out of love. But one other thing, too.
All right, I'm going to check you on that.
I want to make sure I make. As far as taking a course on it, or it should be taught, but it should be taught by, I want to say, people that you trust, like the priest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be a school course. No, I'm just saying, and when you're saying being educated, it can happen in a church, your mosque, your synagogue. It can happen in a community center. But should there be some more, like, structured programming like we do with sex education? At least with sex education, you know we have a somewhat of a basic of a base of knowledge to work from. When we talk about love, we don't have a base of knowledge to work from necessarily, unless you're talking about from your respective religious affiliation. So should there be that type of setup when we have this conversation?
I'm unsure, but I would say this. The thing that needs to be taught is, quote unquote, of course, saying you're in a bad relationship, end quote. That needs to be taught.
What part of that needs to be taught?
Like, if I mean, someone could be like, well, he loves me. He says he loves me, but no, he's not treating you right. He hits you. He does this. He does that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. And you need to get out of it.
That's part of the love conversation, whether he loves you or not.
Go ahead, Kristen.
That's part of the love conversation, though. When you get back to knowing what you need, what fills you up, what love means to you, and what you're able to receive, what you need to receive, then that's part of that love conversation. Because if you have that and you're absolutely clear on that, you already know you're in a messed up situation. You already know, and in many cases, if you have that level of understanding about yourself, you're not even going to allow the relationship to get that bad. To have to justify and try to understand whether or not this is healthier for me or not.
I agree. But my last point is my ex and I are still good friends.
Okay.
She came to my wedding, and my wife and her get along well. You can have an ex as a friend.
No, well, that's fine. Now, that is, I think, is a different situation. I mean, that's a different situation. I'm saying, are you still friends with your ex on social media?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm friends with a bunch of exes on social media.
And does your wife have an issue with that?
No.
Does she know, Patrick?
Hell no. She, I mean, like I said, like, wouldn't she know? She came to the wedding.
I'm just saying, you say a bunch of exes, I'm just saying. Like, does she know? Is that, I'm just asking a question, Patrick, though.
No, I mean, I don't have, like, I'm not, like, Wilt Chamberlain or anything like that. Definitely not on the phone. But, yeah.
Okay.
More than one. We're friends. It's cool. That's about it.
Nothing okay.
More. I mean, I know myself and she knows me. There's trust.
There we go.
Relationships take work, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And love takes work, too.
Absolutely.
I'll take it easy, man.
Hey, Patrick, always appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much. Oh, man. I'm only asking the questions because, Kristen, there are many do's and don'ts right now, right, in terms of how to kind of get through this experience. What would you say are some of the big things? You mentioned and you emphasized loving yourself. But what are some of the other things that you would recommend when you're talking about dealing with either heartbreak or dealing with having a healthy relationship, even when the flowers and the peaches and all of those things, the Cupid and all of that, they just fall to the wayside?
Well, you always need to have somebody in your life that you trust, that you can, that you look up to. So I always say every person should have three types of friends. You have somebody that you look up to that's pulling you up, somebody who's on the same page with you, and somebody that you are reaching out to and pulling up. So you always need to have somebody who's a few steps ahead of you. That's not going to be your good girlfriend or your homeboy, somebody that you have a different level of respect for that you can go to in confidence and have heart-to-heart, genuine conversations, somebody who's going to tell you the truth unapologetically without wavering and that you can receive the truth from. So you definitely need to have one of those people in your life to be able to have those conversations with, to check in, because sometimes we do get off track. And the bottom line is emotions are real. Mental health is real.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to nurture that mental health at all times. So having a great sounding board is always going to be important to living life in general. I'm a big believer in meditation and prayer. So I do have a spiritual relationship with God, and I do value that. I think that's very, very important for this, for my marriage, for my relationship with my children, my relationship with myself. Because a lot of times we do allow ourselves to go crazy. We are more detrimental to ourselves than other people.
Yep.
So having that spiritual relationship is always important. But then also just being able to experience life. A lot of times we spend so much time focused on that loving relationship, finding that one, you know, I can't do, especially for women, I can't go on that cruise yet. I've got to wait for my husband, and I don't want to do this yet. I don't want to do these things. I don't want to go to these places. I want it to be special with my husband or with my significant other. Do life. Because more often than not, when you're living your best life with or without a significant other, that will allow you to truly live your best life and to attract the ones that you really need to attract or desire to attract.
Mm. So that's, and I'm so happy that you brought up that point, because I think that's the other part of this conversation, that you attract, and I always tell people, you attract who you are.
Yes.
That you don't attract. So if you are a pauper, I don't necessarily, you're not going to attract the millionaire, right? It's like on, but you attract who you are. What are some of the things that you would recommend that we should now? You know, you said some of the things we should do, but what are some of the things that we should be mindful of that may be indicators or signs that we may not have a healthy relationship when it comes to, you know, experiencing love?
Some of the things are very basic. And being, again, staying in tune with yourself. If you are walking away from that relationship, or, you know, at the end of that date or spending time with that person or phone call, and you're feeling bad about yourself, if you find yourself constantly apologizing, feeling the need to apologize, if you ever find this, that you're in that position where you're constantly walking on eggshells. You're feeling like, you know, I'm not sure if I should say this to this person. If you cannot be 100% you, goofy and all, you know, sometimes you may fly off the handle for a second, bring yourself back in, and know that you still feel safe and secure. If at any point you have to question if my safety is an issue here, that's a definite red flag.
Definite. I would totally agree. Folks, Kristen, we still got folks that want to check in. They want to talk to you,
Go ahead, Love Doctor. Come on.
They want to talk to you. First, Olu Busola, who checked in on our Facebook page and said, we must separate the difference between love and emotions. Love is not an emotion, and that's where the conflict seems to start and end. Hmm. Did you want to respond to that, Kristen? Can you respond to that?
I think it is important to, definitely, I agree. I definitely agree with that. But there is a difference between how you show up and how you love people and the emotional state that you're in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, so we have Korea, first-time caller, checking in from East Baltimore. Korea, thank you so much for checking in and wanting to be a part of the conversation. What's your take on this? Love.
Yes, my take on love is, it's like a maturity to me. Mm-hmm. Because when you're 20 or when you're 14, when you become 30, it's totally different levels to love.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like love is an action, it's protection, it's patience. And I do believe that love can be taught at school, but in a different mannerism that you would teach it at home or at church.
So you're saying take it in school? Because most of our callers are saying, no, we don't need it in school. It can be done at a community center. It could be done at a church or a mosque. But you're saying we should have something in school.
Yes. And we do have things in school, because you have, as an adult, you remember your teacher that you love. You remember the teacher that showed you attention, that gave you aspirations to be better.
Yeah.
Or put something in your life. Love comes in so many different, you know, approaches, and it comes in so many definitions. But when you loving a person, like a man and a woman is loving someone, I feel like me, I'm 43 now.
Okay.
My love at 21 when I was with the man then, it's totally different than loving a man now.
Oh, absolutely. Hope so. Hope so.
But it's more of your needs and your wants. But as far as the education, yes, I do believe that it can be taught in school, but in a different mannerism that you would learn it in church. I think your parents are your first love. Your father, growing up in a two-family home, I knew love from security.
Mm.
My father came home, I was safe. And safety for me in a relationship, protection for me in a relationship, and a provider, a person who can keep their word.
Yeah.
A yes means a yes, and a no means a no, and this is what time I'm showing up.
Absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Real quick, Korea, do you believe this idea of finding the one has helped us or has damaged us?
The finding the one, when people say finding the one, you're not finding the one as a mate. You're supposed to be finding yourself and the reason why you're here. You have to find you. Your definition on being on this earth is to find out what you're here for and to give to others. You're not here for to practice to love, because love is a given.
Yeah.
But being on this earth, you only going to live one time. So you should know why you're here. That's the reason of that to me.
You know what's so interesting about this career? Because the fact of I've seen so many people spending an exorbitant amount of time. I mean, just a tremendous amount of time chasing people, right? And then their personal life, their career choices is not where it should be, or not where they want it to be, rather, right? Because they spend so much time, money, energy on chasing or finding the one, right? And that's why I'm asking that question, because I'm like, I've seen lives fall apart for the sake of finding the one.
Yeah.
And Kristen, I don't even know if that is should be continued to be taught as a realistic goal, because it's like I heard a pastor one time say, he said, you could walk into a room with 50 people and you can have chemistry with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So this whole idea of finding the one and then spending.
There's no such thing. Finding you is the one.
That is finding. Okay. Corinne, let me find out that you're a relationship expert yourself and that you and Kristen actually have a practice called K&K Partnership in Love.
Hey, we just might have to make that happen.
You know what I mean? Let me find out. And then let me find out that I'm not getting paid for that great idea. Let me find out.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Korea, thank you from East Baltimore. Thank you so much for dropping some knowledge on that. But Kristen, you're saying that we need to kind of scrap that idea, though, right? I got to keep
Absolutely.
Going back to it.
Absolutely. I mentioned it earlier. There's no such thing as the one. And what you said, the pastor said, is absolutely correct. There are plenty of people in this world that you can be compatible with and that you can build a great life with. You just have to choose. There's no way you can tell with all the people in this world. I mean, more often than not, people find somebody where you are. You have a few people who have a long distance relationships and one of you wind up moving. But more often than not, you're finding somebody right in the state or the city where you are.
Right.
Does that mean if I move to Kansas, I'm short? No. I mean, there's somebody for you everywhere you go. You just have to be open and available to it and make a decision to choose one.
That's true.
Keep looking while you have one.
Right, right. I was about to be like, yes, wait a minute. Did she just say not looking while you have one? Like, I got one, but I'm still looking.
No. When you make that decision, and that's just part of being mature and responsible. You choose one. And you walk with that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Muhammad from West Baltimore. New caller checking in. Muhammad, what's your take on it, sir? Thank you for checking in. Should love be an education?
How you doing? I like what Kristen just said, and that's how I look at life now. She maybe kind of changed up what I was getting ready to say when she said that you have to be available and open.
Mm.
And that's just life. That's life. You have to be ready for what the Creator gives you, because the Creator always sends signs and always open the door for everyone. You walk through it. It's just it's our choice.
Yeah.
To make that decision.
Absolutely.
And my thing about love, when I look at when I see love, because I struggle with it a little bit, when I see love, and I think about Adam and Eve, I think about what was the true consequence or the true reason that was it a fruit or was it forbidden knowledge? I believe it was the serpent, I believe, was the, I don't mean to talk this way, but I got to be honest, I believe was the penis.
Mm.
And they used to call the vagina the twa. And back in religious times, they worshipped the twa. So mm. I believe that the higher power was going to teach us how to love.
Mm.
We chose lust.
Oh. Mm. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Yes, yes, and I had to call in and talk about that.
Yeah, bruh. That's how the inspiration hits you sometimes.
Y'all helping me out, man.
Hey, look, man.
At the end of the night.
That's what I'm talking about. It's Friday night, because I don't want you to hit them streets, Muhammad.
You said earlier in the program that we're
going to
fix somebody's relationship.
That's all we try to do. It's Friday night.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Help me out, brother.
Hey, thank you so much for checking in, Muhammad, for dropping some jewels. You know, I want to make sure that before folks go over to Melba's, Kristen. They go to the 5 Mile House sometime, you know what I mean? Go down to the S&S Lounge. You know what I mean? They got in the right spirit. Kristen, how can we, you know, Kristen, you know, I really appreciate your time on this. How can people get more information and learn about, you know, the work that you're doing? And of course, if they have other questions about their relationships, how can they get in contact with you?
Definitely. Well, my organization is called Living the Vows, V-O-W-S, Living the Vows. So you can find us online, www.livingthevows.com, and social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is at Living the Vows. Also, email is yes@ livingthevows.com.
That's what I'm talking about. Kristen Young of Living the Vows, our relationship expert here on For the Culture. Kristen, it is certainly has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for being a part of it and giving us some insight about this great big idea, this thing, this feeling, Kristen, called love. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank all of you for being a part of this fantastic conversation, my on-air guests, and, of course, my folks on For the Culture online community. I want to thank my dynamic production team.